Looking to keep up with recruiting trends and headlines? You're in the right place. Welcome to Career Crossroads, the premier talent acquisition community with your host, Chris Hoyt and Jerry Crispin.
With Melissa Thompson, who is the VP of Talent Acquisition for McGraw-Hill Education. And Melissa, could you, you know, talk a little bit about choosing McGraw-Hill? You're there now about 3 or 4 months?
That's correct. So a couple of reasons why I decided that this would be a great opportunity. One is I was actually consulting for McGraw-Hill Education and working on building out their strategy for the next 1 to 3 years, defining their budget for 2018, and really having a lot of internal conversations about how they could, get more innovative and creative in how they do talent acquisition. And the CHRO looked at me in one of those budget conversations and she said, "Did you put yourself in the budget?" And I said to her, "That is the coolest offer I've ever gotten." So that was part of it. But also, you know, there's this great opportunity that we don't often get in talent acquisition, which is to build something completely from scratch. We had agreed that the RPO partner that had been in at McGraw-Hill Education in North America for the last 4 or 5 years was going to exit, giving me the opportunity to hire the entire team from scratch. And cool. It's been a fun ride, and I'm really looking forward to all of the innovation and impact we're going to be able to have by, you know, driving this transformation for McGraw-Hill Education.
So was the RPO completely focused on overseeing all of TA? I mean, was there any strategic component to it?
No, there was no strategic component to it. There was very little going on around talent attraction, really very lightweight work happening around the candidate experience. And as I looked into the, you know, the core metrics around volume, how much they were filling on a monthly basis, time, both time to fill and time to hire, cost, more in terms of the diversity of their sources and how much they were or were not using agency. It just felt like there was not enough innovation going on in order to, you know, better support McGraw-Hill Education as they make the shift to a more digital organization. They've got to have a talent acquisition organization that moves fast for them.
I find that fascinating. So it's nice having a blank slate.
Yeah. Yeah.
What has occurred to you, obviously, over the last 4 months? Any priority issues?
It's interesting because I came into this eyes wide open, but I've hired a new talent acquisition director in North America to manage the core delivery, and a new talent acquisition director in international based out of London to handle everything outside of North America. Cool. And what I've said to the two of them is, this is the idiom, you can only eat an elephant in small bites. So let's stay focused on, I've created 4 pillars for us to focus on this year. The first is building the foundation. The second is talent attraction. The third is building out critical pipelines. And the fourth is around operational focus. And I said, everything else we have to put on the parking lot for 2019. If we lose focus on doing these 4 things well, we'll miss the boat, because we have this great opportunity where the business is hungry to see what we can do. And if we start doing it, we're going to have all sorts of running room as we go to 2019 and beyond.
I think that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So how do you share that with the business? So obviously you've gotten the conversation going with the CHRO and mm-hmm. and the support there, but somewhere in all of this, the business has to be, I guess, patient for those pillars to get done.
Yeah.
In order for the next layer, if you will, to be done.
Yes. So we have a really broad-based communication plan. The first was really talking to the senior leadership team about the change, what the change would be, and what we thought the impact would be. And then aligned with that, we started to do this drumbeat of communications that starts in Spark, which is our internal intranet, but then also will be email communications. So the post that I'm putting up next week is the evolution of talent acquisition, just helping people think about why it's called talent acquisition versus recruiting, how it includes the sales and the marketing and the customer experience and, you know, all of these other things as opposed to just, you know, core recruiting. And then the other big piece is going to be around training. We're going to do training for all hiring managers globally that helps them to start to make the shift to think more about how they own recruiting, and we're here to help them. Mm-hmm. And so there are several aspects of that where we really want them to shift their thinking from, I opened a rec, where are my candidates, to I opened a rec, let's talk about how we go together to market my role, how we, you know, manage our way through the interview process, you know, making it more of a partnership than a, you know, one-way street.
Fabulous. I love that. That's just fascinating to me. And the more I think you can share that with the reports as they come in. I mean, the interesting thing is as you grow your organization, being able to kind of inculcate that kind of approach and attitude all the way through the organization.
So we've been really purposeful. Well, first we decided there would be 5 recruiters and 2 coordinators on the North America team. Mm-hmm. And we hired that entire group of 7 in less than 30 days. And I know that means that the business is going to look at us and go, how come you can't hire for us at that peak pace? And honestly, I have told everyone our answer needs to be clear. We tapped our networks. We posted it on LinkedIn. We posted it in LinkedIn groups. We posted it on niche job boards. See how we're following what we're telling you guys you should do. And then what we're doing is very focused orientation. So on their first day, I spend an hour with them, welcoming them to the team, but really sort of talking through the strategy and the 4 pillars and how we ended up deciding that these were the 4 things that we should focus on this year. And then really kind of talking about the time horizon for the balance of the year, what some of the things are they need to be thinking about as they're getting into their roles. And then on the third day, I come back and talk to them a second time. And that is a knitting together of the analytics and data that we looked at in order to make the decisions around bringing the recruiting in-house. And then starting to talk about what will be our core recruiting process. It's something called CRISP. It's the Melissa acronym for the 5 stages of the process. And then having them start to think about the change management that they're going to need to do as they begin working with their clients. So a lot going on, but just so much fun to sort of see it beginning to come together and managing the communication and the change management plan to ensure that we have that foundation to be successful.
Well, you certainly come across like you're really enjoying yourself, but tell me what CRISP stands for.
It stands for clarify, review, interview, select, prepare. It's this 10-page deck where each of the pages it says, hiring manager, you do this, recruiter, you do that. So very clear process guide.
I love it. And obviously, you didn't come to this point without also having a relatively fascinating career before this. And I know you spent, you know, 6 or 7 years with Citrix. Mm-hmm. Before that, Lenovo, Hewitt, Bank of America, Siebel. So you've seen a number of different industries and et cetera. Does anything stand out in terms of, you know, a particular I don't know, bright spot or moment of inspiration for you over that period of time?
You know, one of my favorite aha moments came to me when I was working at Dell as a recruiter for the middle market division. I was talking to their inside sales team about how we could look at sales candidates that didn't have a technical background and recruit just really good salespeople and teach them the technical product. And they didn't believe me. And I said, let's just experiment for one quarter. And the next quarter, a guy who used to be a shoe salesman was the number one inside salesperson. So what that said to me is recruiting is about thinking creatively about your adjacencies. It's not about how do I fill this one job. It's how do I think differently about my pipeline so I can get the candidates to the manager that I need. And I'm like, this, when you can fill the sales jobs so that you have that kind of an impact, this is how you impact the revenue of a company. And it was the aha for me that, you know, making the shift from having been mostly a generalist through my career to moving to the recruiting is, this is where the strategic fun stuff can happen.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, just listening to your stories, that is kind of the aspiration of Career Crossroads, is being able to put in a room an awful lot of folks like yourself who have points of view and have learning that I think is extraordinary when peers start talking to each other about these kinds of issues. I have one more interesting question for you. Okay. Tell me about Queen's Foundation.
Oh, so the Queen's Foundation is a group that helps young disadvantaged girls in the Raleigh, North Carolina area to make it to college. And the way they do that is through mentoring, through sometimes providing laptops and materials. One of the things that when I was really tightly engaged with the foundation was we had 45 girls come into the Citrix office, and we had people from different areas within Citrix talk about how they came to be in their roles, how they came to be in the jobs that they were in. And it was so fun watching the girls have this aha moment where you can change the trajectory of your career at different points. You don't have to decide today, I'm going to be a doctor, and not change your mind as you find things that are more passionate for you or more interesting for you. They ask just amazing questions. So the Queen's Foundation is a great organization, and still support them from afar. So a really fun thing for me to volunteer with.
Well, I appreciate your sharing that, because I do think, you know, a part of everyone's life has to be giving back in some way to, you know, to your profession, to your foundation, to your community. So I just really appreciate the time we've taken.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Career Crossroads. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review and subscribe. And for more great content and to stay up to date, visit careerxroads.com, facebook.com, and twitter.com/careerxroads. We'll catch you next time.